This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Tonight, Ireland's call for Sligo's Nicole Fowley, the Drumcliff native, starts at out half in Saturday's Six Nations opener against the French, her first Six Nations match for 5 years. Can Leitrim Gaelic football secure a promotion double this weekend? The women will go up to Division 3 if they beat Limerick in their league semi-final on Sunday. The men will do likewise if they beat Tip in Carrick, and if Wexford do them a favour against Longford. Martin McGann will join us shortly with his abacus. Plus, 2024 is a very special year for Kilcar GAA Club in Donegal. It's celebrating 100 years. We've paid a visit to Towny to hear from some of the club greats, Martin and James McHugh and Michael Carr. And we'll hear from the guys a bit later on. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. Here are the contact details if you want to get in touch at any stage by WhatsApp and text 083 3500 530. The email address sport@oceanfm.ie, and you'll find us on X as well at Ocean FM Sport.
Time is surely running out. Gives it to the fullback, Seamus Lacey. Is there going to be a shooting chance here for Leach? They've given the ball away, and Shane Quinn has it for Leitrim. Oh no! Shane Quinn started it over, and he's over.
Oh my God!
He was celebrating.
Oh my God!
Started it over. He was over carrying the ball, and it's a free in. It's a free into Leash, I swear to God. Shane Quinn caught the ball. He thought the game was over. And he wasn't. And he the free was awarded into Leash because he carried the ball.
He carried the ball
up in the air, thinking the game was over.
This is going to be
a horrible way for Leash. It won't be a loss if Mark Barry kicks it over. It'll be a draw.
It'll be a disaster.
It's disaster, really.
Disaster. Mark Barry, if he kicks this one over, it could end Leash promotion hopes.
Yeah.
What must Shane Quinn be feeling now at the minute?
Oh man.
Oh, the poor fella.
He thought it was over. There's been no justice in this game so far. Can it come at the very end?
Barry. He kicks it in.
It's off the post. And now it's all over. Leitrim have won it by a point. What a win. The free came off the post. There was justice in the end, Martin. And the free came off the post. And Leitrim have registered an amazing victory.
Oh, 113 to 17.
I was saying there was no justice in the game.
Well, as finishes to a National League match go, that will take some beating from last Saturday. John Lynch and Martin McGown coming up for oxygen after describing Leitrim's dramatic 1-point win over Leash in Division 4 of the Allianz Football League in Portlaoise. And that win, the ball hitting the upright from Mark Barry's free in at the very end, keeping Leitrim's promotion hopes to Division 3 intact. This is the top four in Division 4 as it stands going into the final round of matches this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Leash are top of the pile but not promoted yet. They have 10 points from 6 games. Then you have three teams coming next on 8 points. Wexford, 8 points from 6 games and a scoring difference of plus 28. Longford, 8 points from 6 games, a scoring difference of plus 19. Leitrim, 8 points from 6 matches and scoring difference of plus 15. But the scoring difference, not that important, because Wexford play Longford in the final match this Sunday at the same time as Leitrim host Tipperary in Carrick on Shannon. To get promoted, Leitrim have to beat Tipperary in Carrick, that's the first thing, and then hope Wexford beat Longford. In that instance, Leitrim would finish second in the table behind table toppers Leash, and they would finish ahead of Wexford because they have the head-to-head advantage over Wexford. They beat Wexford in the league earlier this season. However, if Leitrim win and Longford win, if Longford beat Wexford, then Longford would finish above Leitrim. They'd be on the same points, but Longford beat Leitrim earlier this season in the league. So by virtue of the head-to-head, Longford would finish second and Leitrim would miss out. Mathematically, Leash top of the table. They play bottom of the table, Waterford, on Sunday. Waterford haven't won a single game yet this season in the league. But if the Desha were somehow to beat Leash, then scoring difference would come into play because we could conceivably have three teams on 10 points at the top of the table come Sunday afternoon. 1 o'clock throw-ins for all four Division 4 league games this Sunday. We will bring you the Leitrim match live, needless to say. And while all of that is going on, at the same time in Woodmount, the home of Pádraig Pearse's GAA club in Roscommon this Sunday, Leitrim's women's Gaelic footballers take on Limerick in their little Division 4 league semi-final. A win there would guarantee promotion for Johnny Garrity's side, because two teams go up from Division 4 of the Little National League this season, unlike one, which has been the case for the previous 3 or 4 years. That game will also be live across Ocean FM Sport this Sunday, online on oceanfm.ie. It also throws in at 1 o'clock. So, lots to digest there for Leitrim, but for former men's county football and mentor, county footballer and mentor Martin McGowan, who'll be part of our Carrick on Shannon commentary team this Sunday, it's a very exciting position to be in.
To have that chance of promotion in the last game, Austin, I suppose really that's what you want. In an ideal world, you win all your games and you have promotion sewn up before them. But we know well at this stage, especially competing in Division 4, it really is a rat race to try and get out of it. And in that regard, you know, you just have to be happy to have that opportunity on the last day. And, you know, they do have an opportunity on Sunday.
And the equation is simple in terms of what they need to do in Carrick, and that's win. Only a win will do. Then I suppose we're keeping a half eye on what's happening between Longford and Wexford.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of different scenarios. I suppose the easiest route to promotion for Leitrim, and the only route for promotion for Leitrim, involves them getting a win. That's first and foremost. If Leitrim don't win, they don't get promoted, and that's end of story. So a Leitrim win coupled with a Wexford win and a Laois win would put Leitrim true on the head-to-head with Wexford. Now, if it was ever a case that Longford managed to beat Wexford and Leitrim did win, the only other scenario by which Leitrim could get promoted is if Waterford turned Laois over below in Dungarvan. So, I mean, that's you wouldn't expect Laois to lose down there, but stranger things have happened too.
Well, this is it. We were listening back to the closing moments of commentary on that dramatic finish in Port Laois last Saturday, where you and John Lynch were giving each other oxygen by the end of the 75-76 minutes. Is it when you see moments like that unfold, Martin, do you begin to say to yourself, well, maybe this just might be Leitrim season?
You do, you know. I mean, there's lots of little things that happen during the year. I suppose the last minute penalty against Wexford was a big one, you know. In fairness, that was a game where we looked to be losing, you know. In fairness, to be perfectly honest, I thought Wexford were probably the best team that Leitrim met this year so far. But had the same thing happen to them in reverse the following week against Carlow, and you were beginning to wonder whether it was going to be your year. But the Leitrim performance against Laois, in particular in the second half, was absolutely outstanding. And, you know, as I said to John during that commentary, it would have been a terrible injustice if Leitrim hadn't won that game based on the performance, because while we scored 17 points in the game, there was 4 absolutely golden goal chances that Leitrim didn't take in that game. So, you know, from that perspective, really, you know, you're delighted to be in with a shot on the last day.
Do you get the impression that Leitrim are becoming a more dangerous team now in front of goal? I know you said they missed 4 goal opportunities, but they are creating these chances now.
They certainly are. I mean, when you think back to maybe about 4 years ago or 5 years ago, you know, they were running totals of maybe 14, 15 points. But, you know, in a lot of games this year, they've been kicking 16, 17, 18 scores in games, you know, which is very, very important. You know, if you're going to create the opportunities, you know, you're certainly going to take a fair percentage of them over time, you know. And in order to win, you have to keep creating the opportunities. And I suppose that's a very pleasing thing for Andy Moore. And I did say that to John on Sunday, you know. At half time, Andy would have gone in, and instead of dwelling on the point that Leitrim were after missing 3 great goal chances against the Breeze, he'd be saying to the boys, you know, we're creating the opportunities to keep going for it. And so it turned out, you know. And I really think that if we can just, you know, focus on a high pressure game that, like, we played in the second half against Laois, I think there's no reason why they can't come out on top on Sunday.
Yeah, and you have to remind yourself too that they're doing all of this in Division 4 this season without the Keith Byrne, who's not part of the attack at the moment. A reminder just about the under 20 match last night, Martin. We saw Barry McNulty limping during the second half there, and that worried a few people. Now, Andy Moore has since told us that he's going to be fine. It's a niggle from the Carlow game, and he doesn't anticipate a problem for the Tip game on Sunday. Just your thoughts on that, and also the Leitrim performance. I know 9 points looks a big winning margin for Galway, but Everybody we've spoken to, this game, it was a much closer game than maybe the printed final score suggests.
Yeah, going back over the 60-odd minutes that were played last night, you know, Leitrim missed a penalty opportunity in the first half that would have reduced the gap a little bit further. And just right, with 5 minutes to play, the score was 114-13 points, and Leitrim had a 14-yard free to bring the game back to a one-score game, 114-14 points. And Paul Honeyman, who had a superb game last night, he kicked 7 points in the game last night. Paul Honeyman was standing over the free, and the linesman, or the umpire was, called the referee in behind the goals, and he issued a black card to Paul Honeyman and a yellow card to the Galway player, which was a second yellow card, which kind of mystified everybody there. The referee signalled that the Leitrim player had pulled down the Galway player, but I had a view on the situation myself, and the only player to go to ground was Paul Honeyman. He was the only player that ended up on the ground. I thought myself that neither player really deserved to get a card. It was a little bit of jostling that went on, but how you could distinguish that one player got a black card while the other player got a yellow card, I just don't know how the referee made that distinction. But in any case, that was an opportunity for Leitrim, and Darren Cox actually went for a goal instead of tapping the ball over the bar and bringing it back to a one-score game. And almost immediately, Galway came down the field and kicked a point to stretch the lead to 5 points. And from the next kick out, Galway got a goal in the dying embers of the game. So, it really did paint a picture that wasn't a true reflection of the game.
But encouraging signs nonetheless. And this is a pretty hectic period for Gaelic football in Leitrim, Martin, finally, because alongside the under-20s, the senior men, we have the senior women playing a Division 4 League semi-final against Limerick on Sunday. It's hard to know which way to turn with so much happening.
Well, it certainly is, and I suppose the Leitrim ladies have performed very, very well in the National League this year. They had just one defeat en route to making the semi-finals, and they really will be looking at trying to get that win on Sunday and garner promotion back up in a division, which would be a big step forward for them this year. You could end up in the situation on Sunday where you have two Leitrim teams gaining promotion, and by the flip side of that, if things don't go their way at either venue, you know, both teams could be looking again for another year to go for promotion. So look, you're absolutely right, it is a big time for football in the county, and indeed throughout the province of Connacht, to be fair, Austin, because you have all the counties are getting ready for the Connacht Senior Championship. Like, that is coming rapidly towards each county. Sunday,
the 7th of April,
you have three Connacht Championship games. That's only 2 weeks away from next weekend. So, it really is it's coming very, very quickly down the road. And you could possibly have a scenario for Leitrim anyways in particular, if they do manage to get a win on Sunday and the result goes well for them in Wexford, then you could have a situation where Leitrim end up playing 4 weeks in a row. So, we would all love to play 4 weeks in a row, because it would mean we'd have a trip to Croke Park to play a National League final. So, that's something that will be in the back of the minds. But I spoke to Andy immediately after the game in Laois and down on the field, and his first response was, okay, one job done, but we have to go and do another job next week. And that's the right attitude, go out there and look to do a job next Sunday.
Martin McGowan on the possibilities for Leitrim football this Sunday, and we will bring you all the drama as it unfolds live on Ocean FM Sport, which is going to start at the earlier time this Sunday, just before 1 o'clock, and we've commentary teams at both venues for the women. Leitrim against Limerick in the Little National Football League Division 4 semi-final. We're at Porrick Pearce's commentary from Maeve Quinn and Ray Lannan. 1 o'clock throw-in there. At the same time in Avonmunny, Pádraig Sean McDiarmidh and Carrie Conshannon, the men host Tipperary in their final Division 4 game. Again, they have to win. 1 o'clock start there. John Lynch and Martin McGowan, who you've just heard from, will be describing the action there as it unfolds. We'll also keep you in touch with how Sligo on the men's and women's front go on Sunday from 2 o'clock. Sligo women are trying to avoid the drop from Division 3 to Division 4. They have to beat Louth in Clonacool on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. We'll be there as well to see if they can do precisely that. And Sligo men's footballers will complete their Division 3 league campaign. They can't get promoted, but they are, of course, they have consolidated their status in Division 3 with some room to spare. And they host promotion chasing Westmeath on Sunday afternoon at Markovic Park. And that game will be live in full as well on oceanfm.ie. Compliments of Oates Breheny Group, your local property and mortgage expert. That's Ocean FM Sport this Sunday from 1 o'clock. When we come back after the break, we will be taking you to Kilcar as it celebrates a very important GAA milestone in Donegal.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Sligo's Nicole Fowley has been named at out half on the Ireland rugby team for this Saturday's opening Women's Guinness Six Nations Championship match against France in France. The Drumcliff native, who's the current Connacht captain, gets the nod for the number 10 jersey for the opening match against the French in what will be her first Six Nations game for Ireland since 2019. She has 10 Irish caps to date, made her international comeback during the World 15s tournament in Dubai last October. Saturday's match takes place in Le Mans and it's going to be televised live by RTE from 2:15. A reminder too about Saturday Sports Beat Extra coming your way this Saturday evening here on Ocean FM between 7 and 9pm. The programme will have commentary on Donegal's Allianz Football League Division 2 game at home to Meath in Ballybuffet. Promotion already assured to Division 1 next season for Jim McGuinness's side, and they're getting ready for a league final against Armagh, but we'll bring you the Meath match live this Saturday evening. But the programme will also include updates on Sligo Rovers women's opening All-Ireland Cup Group D game against last year's winners Galway United from the Showgrounds at 7 o'clock. And in basketball, the men's Super League quarter-final playoff in Galway, EJ Sligo All-Stars taking on University of Galway Marie in Oranmore, tip-off at 7 o'clock. For the second year in a row, the All-Stars have reached the end-of-season playoffs, the business end of the InsureMyVan.ie Men's Super League. And we'll have live updates on that game on Saturday evenings, Saturday Sports Beat Extra here from 7pm on Ocean FM. If you've no plans for Easter yet, you might like to join us in 2 weekends' time for this.
Ocean FM.
If this putt does not go in, it is match over.
You could have the four seasons in one day. I mean, I've got sunburnt, I've hit in drains from hailstones.
I would have grown up putting on the green in Sligo and pretending that, you know, you have this putt to win the rest of Ireland Championship.
The birdies, the rough, the match play, the crack. The Condley Motor Group West of Ireland Golf Championship on Ocean FM this Easter weekend.
He's absolutely. And there's your champion, folks.
Ireland's best amateur golfers take on County Sligo's signature golf links. We're bringing you the latest scoring, news and interviews, along with live on-course commentary of the match play stages on your phone and on the radio. The Condley Motor Group West of Ireland at Ross's Point. Be there with Ocean FM Sport. It starts on Good Friday the 29th of this month right through to Easter Tuesday. Two rounds of qualifying stroke play on Friday and Saturday. Then we're into the traditional last 64 match play stage on the Sunday, and then into the knockout stages of the match play Easter Monday and Tuesday, and you'll be able to keep in touch with that across Ocean FM Sport over the 5 days of golf. To Donegal next. How many of you remember this?
Up to Michael Kerr. To Michael Kerr and to Martin McHugh. The two men, I would say, who are the two main men on this Kilcar team today. Martin hits it over the bar and put another nail in the coffin. 1-14. For Kilcar, 8 points for Ardra. Time running out now as the spectators are going into the field here, and Noel Kane is trying to keep them back, and so is Desi Kelly, and so is Tommy Bogle. The referee goes in for the ball. The game is over, and the new champions of Donegal are Kilcar for 1980 with a convincing 1-13 to 8.1 over their rivals Ardra after a great game of football, and a game that was anybody's game up until the last, well, 8 minutes, whenever Kilcar seemed to get that extra bit of stamina and extra bit of steam, and that goal by E. Cannon really finished it as a game. A very clean game, well refereed. Credit to both teams and to both teams of supporters as well, who showed their manners and their integrity, which I know that the both clubs have. And a great day for the GAA, I think. And we'll now wait for the presentation of the Dr. Maguire Cup to the captain of the Kilcar team, Sean McGinley. whenever he gets a minute to get out of that cluster of people in the far side of the field.
From 1980, the Donegal Senior County Championship Final, Kilcar beating Ardragh. It was the Tandy Club's first time to lift the Dr. Maguire Cup. Kilcar celebrating the club centenary this year, 2024. And last Friday night, Club Connections young and not so young gathered in the Ashland in Kilcar to officially launch their centenary celebrations. It was a night of nostalgia, memorabilia and chat. As MC on the night, Paul Hegarty interviewed some of the club greats. Among them, the McHugh brothers, Martin and James, alongside the great Michael Carr, who were part of that breakthrough 1980 Kilcar team. And Martin recalled what it was like to be a teammate of Michael Carr's at the time.
Yeah, I suppose there are two things I would say. With the man beside me here, in 1980 I kicked 10 points in the county final, and the Ulster final in 1983 I kicked 7, and this man looked man of the match the 2 days, and totally deserved it as well, I have to say. You know, he was by far the best player in the field, but as unlucky I was. But I just say, when I started, Paul, playing with Kilcar, I always remember two stories on it. You know, I was playing junior one with the reserve team or whatever. But I remember we were playing down in Fannin, only 13 men, and your father had to play, or was playing corner forward. And we got 7 points that day, and your father was fouled. He was a good man to win a free for the 7 frees, and I kicked the 7 over the bar. And the other one, which is a different story, obviously, we played Glen in a reserve game in Towney, and I was playing anyway. It was a tough game, and Jack Fury was refereeing it. As we all know, Michael and Peter Connery were playing for Kilcar, and of course they're married to their sister. And I remember during the game, I knew Jack was giving a free to Glenn, and Peter says, "You're not coming out for no tea this evening, Jack." But anyway, we got a penalty then later on, and I set the ball down to kick the penalty, and I was ready to kick it, and Michael came flying up behind me and hammered it into the roof of the net. I think Jack didn't even know what to do, or nobody else knew what to do when I'd actually set the ball. But I think Peter told him then he was happy enough that he would get his tea that evening then.
Very good. I suppose then one in the 80 was obviously massive for the parish, as Kieran touched on. But then in 82 for yourself, Martin, along with Morris, to win an All-Ireland 21. Like, that's set precedent for your county career.
Yeah, it was. I was playing, I mean... I wasn't going up to play, actually. County Fofflers went up, and this man, McInniff, was on to this man about getting me up anyway. So I ended up going up to play county football that year after 80. And my first game, and it's hard to believe it now, as the two men left the club this evening, they head down to stay in Carton House or Johnson House tonight or whatever it is. The first day we played Tipperary and Ballyshannon, my first debut for the county, and the fullback was wearing glasses for Tipperary. So that's maybe the level. It was different that time, different completely that time to now, with the way everything was and everything else. But I made my debut then, and then 82 under 21 All-Ireland was a big one for the county. First All-Ireland the county ever won, so it was big for the county as much as, and a lot of them players came through along with the 87 team and everything else, followed suit by fellas like James here beside me and other people that made it to the end up in 92. But yeah, it was, 82 was important and everything else. And it was great that in, because I think what I remember Michael coming to me at a time that in and saying to me, you know, that you have to be very good if you're from Kilcar to make it as a county footballer, because, you know, you had to be from Ballyshannon or St. Junan's or Gidor, all the big clubs. So it was great, you know, followed by, and I know there are people here, Shannon's down there, Shannon McGillney and Shane McGallagher and people like that would have played for the club, or for the county before that, and everyone. But it was tougher than maybe to tell you, you know, because we're classed as. So, you know, winning that county final and everything else and getting up there definitely made a difference, you know. And we became, as Kieran said early on, the big club, became the club of the 80s, which was brilliant for us at that time. But just one thing I'll say, I remember playing everything else, and Liam McElhenney's a good friend of mine from St. Michael's, and when Con was over in at the Kenny, he was with Liam McElhenney, and he was just telling me the night, even McElhenney said he was a bad umpire. But I always said that Con was a brilliant umpire for Kilcar, because I hadn't the ball kicked and Con had the flag up, so I was guaranteed that we were going to sort it out, you know. So,
and he was, don't you want? But we must have done things on twos when it came to County, because yourself and Michael Lennon probably been the first two to win an Ulster Championship together in 83, which was a big achievement also. Not forgetting the four in a row that Kieran touched on in league, which was a massive achievement for the club. And then, James, we can bring you on board now, being captain of the team in 85. What's your kind of memories of that year, really?
That memories of 85, Paul, are great. It's a huge honour. You know, I mean, all the things that you were doing, you know, in your career, you're being county all Ireland and the S, you know, to captain your club to see the championship. To me, like, it's just, you know, it's as good an honour as I've ever had. You know, James Gallagher was manager that year. And I mean, you know, it's unfortunate Jerry Chilton is one member of the panel, unfortunately, you know, that we're missing. But from my point of view, Paul, I'd say I look back at it with extreme pride. You know, I mean, I was very young, I mean, probably one of the youngest captains, like, as far as I know, to lift the championship. But, you know, there is no greater honour. It's a very good team. I mean, I was one of the, I'll be talking even to the younger for just a minute, I was one of the lucky people. Like, I came into Kilkerr senior team, Ian Higgins, in 1981. I mean, my first year, I won a league. First 4 years, we were involved, won a league. We could beat the second year, we won everything. We could beat the county final, we won everything else in the county. You know, I mean, I was extremely lucky. I mean, Ian Paddy High, people like that will tell you, you know, what the struggles that went on. I mean, you know, them second people, when we talk about history, it's great that we can sit here tonight, you know, we're part of the great successes, you know, but we have to also honour the people who actually, I mean, it's the people that kept the club going, you know, when times were tough. I mean, I even heard them talking times about 3 and 4 at AGMs. You know, as I say, we're kind of half the chosen people. I mean, even at the minute, if you look at our senior team at the minute, we're extremely competitive. It's a great environment to be in. You know, it's not always going to be like that, and it wasn't always like that. And I mean, I would have to say, you know, the only thing I would say probably at 85 is I would look back at them with extremely proud of moments I've ever had.
Well, we were lucky to have you as well. I suppose then, maybe skipping a few years, going out to 1989, which was on par probably one of the most successful years of the club, and Martin, you being in charge, must have been a proud moment.
Yeah, it was, and I know James has mentioned your dad there was a big one, and I was involved in him too, but I also remember one man that's down there done a wild lot for this club was Barry Campbell, even in the tech and everything else, and the amount of coaching and everything else. He was the first man really to coach in, and there used to be on a blackboard in the tech, as every know and drawing up these things for us, what we're going to do. So talk about a man that was ahead of his time and everything else with us, but he mentored me very well anyway. And but if you go to 1889, so I suppose I took over the team in 1887. You'd be mad because we got married in 1887 and everything else, and we're, you know, there were a lot of money or anything else about. And but we put in about 1887, 1888, and 1889, and we lost the final 1887 to Ballyshannon. There was a good Ballyshannon team, they were just too good for us, you know. 1888, Kelly Beggs beat us in the final, and that's probably a disappointing one that got away in us. Maybe it was all the better because 1993 was probably the sweetest one we ever had. And maybe we got our own back on that team. But 1889 was important. Yeah, we needed to win it. We had to win it. And yeah, it was important. And we the better team on the day. And it was good because it was a big year that year. I mean, to take the two Gaelic titles out of Glen was massive. And even Francie Joe, God rest him, wouldn't give us the medals or not for the reserve. He said we'd senior players playing or so. But it was, yeah, that was sweet, you know, and that there. But yeah, 1889 was a good year. There were great times that day. We had great players and, you know, great footballers and everybody else. And, you know, the thing that worked hard and everything else together, and the games, even Seamus Gallagher was just saying that down there, the games we used to have, it was crazy. We're worse. The training over in Tony was worse. You would get a bigger knock in Tony than you would against other teams. So yeah, very competitive and everything else. But it was good. It was great times, and we enjoyed it. And it was, you know, it was great that we finished off by winning that county final. And so the great photograph is of John Dugan, who was captain of the team, who was down there the night, and Mickey McFadden carrying the cup out. The photograph was taken, and that was a fabulous photograph to have. And that finished the 80s off for us.
We can't leave it without talking about 1992. I suppose myself as a young person that time, I can remember you coming into the town at about 10:15. Michael Gillespie, God rest him, I think the words were, we waited for days, we waited for months, we waited for years, we've done it. And I think that's the moments like that that stick out, and to see you taking the cup down the stage, it was a great moment.
But certainly was applause, no doubt of that. This is again a huge honour for us in the area. But just, you know, the problem this weekend is, you know, the fact that the band, you know, I was just thinking about that there and said, every successful thing that we ever had, I mean, I even remember, you know, and the things I remember about the two All-Irelands, 92 and, you know, 12, was the band leading the team down the town. You know, even in our dressing rooms leading up to county finals or leading up to anything like that, you know, you based your success on the band. There's always was a big one with the band meeting at the top of the top. And it's, you know, it's just something I think we, you know, we need to remember kind of the night, you know, the fact that there's, you know, they had a huge celebration this weekend. But I mean, the 92 thing, Paul, was massive. You know, coming back to you, you know, I always heard it from talking about different players. You know, coming back to your own town is always really the main thing. And I mean, you know, the reception that we got that night is something, you know, that, I mean, mother and father, like, was living that time. It's, you know, it's unbelievable. But, you know, it's great success.
I think that the occasion was great, the game and everything else was great, but I think the best thing was going back into Kilkerra. It's the one I'll always never forget, and your dad, Ian, tucked in beside us, and he was the proudest I've ever seen him in his life when he tucked in there beside us walking down the street. And you know, someone we'll not forget, but the great thing about it was all the other players said the best night and the best time they had was in Kilkerra. So it just shows you how strong, and fair play to you all down there and everybody else, how strong a GEA place we are, because that's what they said, and that's honest. What they said about Kilkerra was they enjoyed it, the best night they had, the best time they had was in Kilkerra.
So maybe just to finish off in 93, because your last kind of major achievement within the club, I suppose, was, which, as you touched on the mark, was a very special occasion. But going on the rivalry around that time, especially with a good new Columba team and a good Kilkenny team, Ballyshannon, you know, it was probably sweet, especially after the 8.
1993 was huge. You know, I mean, we had good success in 1992, but I remember the you know, the county final in 1993, even the whole build up to it, because remember probably, I don't know any of the Cortalia people here, like, they were Kilkenny's flag put up out and stuff, but again, it really added to the whole fun. It added to the whole fun, everything. But as you say, it's something at the moment that probably our senior team is lacking, but maybe, you know, you had Glenn, Kilcar, Kilkenny, Saradra, Four Masters, you had a great local rivalry. But I mean, I remember 93, James Carr having to be beside me in the county final, like, it was huge, like, for us. We were underdogs, but we had really been badly hurt in 1988, where Kilkenny's beat us by a late goal. And we were really badly hurt at the time, but I mean, you know, 93 was up there with anything. I mean, I know myself, I would have to say, if it was gone to 2017 welcome home for the Kilkerra senior team, was the best occasion I have ever seen in I have ever seen in this parish, and nothing really got to me like that coming down for the Paddy McBurney coming down the town that night. But 93 was huge. It was sweet. It was, you know, something else. We felt we were back in the place, you know, where we belong. But I mean, looking back at it, you know, just before, that was a good Kilkerra. That era was a good Kilkerra team. You were coming from three of the 21 teams in a row, which was huge. When you look back now and think about that, you know, them occasions were huge. But 93, Paul, was excellent, brilliant.
Yeah, which is great for everybody here tonight. When we look back at the memories, and these three people in particular were instrumental with really putting Kilkerra on the map. If you could just put your hands together for Michael Carr, Martin McHugh, and James McHugh.
Martin and James McHugh in conversation with Paul Hegarty in Kilkerra last Friday night at the club's official launch of their centenary celebrations. And as Paul mentioned, alongside them on the stage was the great Michael Carr, and he spoke afterwards to Ocean FM Sport about his memories of playing for his home club, the great club rivalries with the neighbouring parishes, which were a big part of his playing days.
No, I thought they didn't like me at all, Glenn Gomes. Well, not a rivalry with Ardra and Glenn, you know, you were very aware of that, you know, but I would have a lot of friends in Glen Cullum Kill because I won my first championship, but no, there'd be a lot of people wouldn't like us, to be quite honest.
I think the rivalries in the 80s were more raw, weren't they?
That's what made actually this part of the world, like, Martin may be very committed to the county, but we had to be very committed to our club too, you know. It demanded Ian Higgerty was manager, and I mean, you heard 81, 82, 83, 84, won every league game, you know. So you had to play, have your county players playing in those days, you know. But we had all, we had a lot of good lads that were up to county standard too here, you know.
When you look back on it now, Michael, did you love playing with Kilcar, with Donegal? Did you enjoy it? Were you able to enjoy it?
Not all the time. Not all the time, because I was running a business, you know, and if I was maybe a guard or a teacher or something, I could have enjoyed it more. But I would, morning of a county final, I worked in my shop, you know, and you might have heard Michael Higgerty just telling that I was still on walking around the corner and a county final being played maybe at 3:30 or 4:00. So, yeah, I would have done things different, to be quite honest, if I went back the years, you know. But we did get a lot of enjoyment. We had great crowds. I mean, the support, there'd be a few thousand at a game in Tony, you know. There was only maybe 4 games live on television in those days. People were innocent, you know. There was an innocence which is not there now, you know, and I suppose we milked that whole thing too, you know. Yeah, and they stayed in the pub then until that night in the town. The culture has changed, you know.
Being a Kilcar man, has that been important to you?
Well, I went to the first county final of my father about 1959, you know, and I was aware of us losing that against McCool's and even, I think, 1963, and you always felt, you know, I remember a tear coming to my eye when we got to the first county final in 80. Now, we beat Glencullum Killin just to get play in the county final. Now, that didn't happen. We won the final in 80, and, you know, I didn't have that same feeling, but it was more relief, you know, to, you know, you felt you'd let people down if you didn't perform in the day and if you didn't maybe win the game, you know.
Can I say you still look a very sprightly young man, as if you could still do a job on the field, even in 2024?
Well, it might look like that, but I had a knee replacement last year and I need the other one replaced. And people say, oh, it's football now, but I'm so long out of football now. I couldn't say. It's just it's part of it's in the genes, I suppose, you know. But no, we were blessed. We were blessed here, you know. If I played maybe for a club, Duncan Ailey, who wouldn't have big numbers, there wouldn't have been expectation from you. But, you know, you were trying to play with the county and the club, and expectation was high, you know, here, as the boys alluded to there.
But the one thing that is secure are the memories you've garnered with Kilcar. When you look at the photographs here down along the Ashland Wall, there are some lovely memories which trigger there.
Yeah, well, I suppose a lot of clubs would have memories, you know. Our span's longer. I played for 23 years for the club, and I'd imagine Martin McHugh probably has had a long career and a few other. The generation we played with in the 70s, they were gone. I think from the county final in 80, Martin and me were the only two in the 93 county final, you know. So, and recently we had the 321 teams there had a reunion. And an amazing statistic was there wasn't one person deceased on, you know. And I mean, we're all, some of them are 70 plus, you know. And there's other teams then, county teams are played with in the 80s, and they might be 4 dead, you know, from, you know, so it's yeah, no, we're blessed here, you know.
Do you miss it, playing football?
I do, and I often wonder, you know, what would it be like to play now? That's the one. See you, Mark. I often wonder what would it be like to play football now, like in the days when you attacked from the half-back line. I mean, you'd have beat 2 or 3 men. Now you could attack and you'd be up on the half 40 and there'd still be nobody to beat, you know. So I just wonder from there on, how would you deal with it, you know. But to be quite honest, I think that football now is 7-a-side football played with 15. And a very difficult too, because they're all 15. There's 30 up on that one space that would be the size of a 7-a-side pitch. And I think the teams that have mastered that are successful, and I think the 14 have to be moving at the one time. I'm trying to figure out what's the difference in the successful teams and the ones that are then not at that level. And I think, you know, that has to be the secret, that you know, they're big, great basketball players and all the rest too, you know. So yeah, I keep trying to figure out you know, what is the difference in the very good teams, the top four teams in the country, and then the teams below that, you know. But it has to be that you know, they just make great seven-a-side teams, you know.
Kilcar's Michael Carr sharing some of his football memories and thoughts on the current game at Kilcar's centenary celebration launch in the Ashlan last Friday night. And it wasn't all about the men either. Women's football continues its upward curve in Towney, and some of the memories on the early days of women's Gaelic football were shared on Friday night. On stage were Caroline Brady and Fiona McGinley, who shared their recollections of how football got going for the girls in Kilcar.
My sister was working in Dublin, and that's over 30 years ago, and she came home saying that she heard Donegal were starting up the club football and we should get a team together. So we tried, we approached the AGM and they were very welcoming and no problem, but we, at that stage, we had no players, no nothing. So we went on and we tried to gather people that were living. We were very fortunate at the time. A lot of people were working around home. Now they go off to college and it's a bit tighter, but we were very lucky and we got going. Completely different 30 years ago. We're actually celebrating just over 30 years of ladies football in Kilcar. 30 years ago, like we, as I said earlier on tonight, I didn't know what we'd had to do. I didn't realise you'd have to go to county board meetings, how to register, insurance. So we got all the information and we started off. We were started in 92, we didn't get really going to 93. But we had great fun, great memories. Training was a lot different then than it is now. Mightn't been as easy then, as a different standard completely. But
you mentioned one thing in your remarks tonight. Kilcar always fielded a team. You mightn't have been contending at the league or championship end or the business end of a particular competition, but you fulfilled the fixture.
We always did. I know time was tight earlier on tonight, and with presentations like this with all different age groups, we can't have it too long, but I always say that I think that we are very lucky here in Kilcar. Not alone have we a great spirit in the parish and all that. Majority of people have two families. You have your own immediate family that you share everything else. And then, of course, we have the JA family. But I think the ladies over the last 30 years, the one thing I have noticed is whether you played 30 years ago or you're playing now, we have a great, great relationship. Whether you're 14 or 24, 34, maybe some of us now over 44 or whatever. But it is, so we really consider ourselves a family within another family.
Fiona, the McGinley name is a very famous family name in this part of the world, so I'm guessing there was no escape from Gaelic Games for you. And I know this club is 100 years old, but it wouldn't function without the female input here.
Definitely not. I suppose the McGinley history goes back to my granda, back in the 1930s, I suppose he was playing, James Patrick McGinley, and we were actually looking at medals there the last night, and we found a medal that he won. It was an All-Ireland medal going back. It has 1936-1937 date on the medal, and I suppose saying Daddy, Sean McGinley, I suppose he played for a number of years. I think I'm taking after himself. I says I don't know when to finish. And then my two brothers, Eamon and Kieran, are, I suppose they were pivotal in 2017 when Kilcar won the senior championship. Now, I have two sisters. I don't know what happened to them. They moved away. One went to Galway and the other went to Roscommon. So they kind of lost the football touch.
You'll get them back, will you?
Well, I don't know about that now, but I know, I suppose it's one of the things we didn't even get to mention tonight was in 2012 we won the league. And my sister Emer, I suppose, was playing with me at the time, but like that, when you move away to college, it's very hard to keep players, you know, involved in the club and that. And I was looking at a picture there the last night of the team that played in 2012, and I think only six out of that team are actually still playing now. Some of us, I would say, are probably overage at this stage, but we're keeping it going anyway, keeping the average age up on the team. So, but I know Caroline mentioned there about, you know, friendships and things like that in your other family. Like, I asked a couple of girls this week, you know, what's your memories? And, you know, and it's like, that's one of the things they said was the friendships you made, you know, with the people. Like, I'm playing, I played with Caroline, I would say, back in 1998, and I'm still playing.
And there's no such thing as retirement in Kilcar, Fiona.
Well, I would say I have another few years to catch up on Daddy. I think he was 55 when he played his last game, so I'll definitely not go to that. But no, like, I enjoy it, and as I say, there's another thing I suppose I didn't get to mention. I got to play with my daughter. She's like, she joined the ladies team back in 2017, and we've played in three county finals together. We've lost two of them, as I say. In 2018 we played Killybegs and we lost, and we played Downings in 2019. But this year I got to play three finals. We won the Gaeltacht final, we won the league final, and we won the championship final, and I got to play those games with her. And she's...
That's special stuff.
Yeah, well, I play in goals. She's my full back. So she gets roared upon.
You get to shout at her again, yeah. As well.
Yeah. And she doesn't call me mammy anymore in the field. It's Fiona. But like, it's great to actually have that with her too.
It certainly is. Mother and daughter connections in Kilcar women's Gaelic football, and they were part of the centenary launch celebrations last Friday night. Caroline Brady and Fiona McGinley in conversation with Ocean FM Sport. And there'll be lots more on the Kilcar celebrations, other big events coming up later this year, and we're podcasting all the interviews we record. We'll share those on Ocean FM Sport on our podcast platforms as well. A reminder, Donegal against Meath will be live in full this Saturday night on Ocean FM from 7 o'clock. Donegal's concluding Allianz Football League Division 2 game. We'll bring you that game live from McCool Park in Ballybuffet. A reminder that this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts online. Search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back with our golf preview of the West of Ireland next week. Same time, same place.